It's indeed an honor for me to be able to occupy this position. Difficult as it is for me, I deem it a great honor to be associated, to know, to love, and respect the Niebuhr family. And from the people who are here this day, I see that I was not alone in my thinking. We're indeed honored today to have two stake presidents here, and the stake president of the Minidoka stake, where Lila and Bruce live, is here, President Griffin, and then our own stake president, Brendan Mortensen. We're honored to have Bishop Niebuhr back with us, Bishop Hanson. We'd like to have all of them up here on the stand, but we don't have seating capacity. We just need to look at the flowers to know that someone was loving. And I've seen as many flowers as we have here today. The Niebuhrs are one of those families who have always existed. It reminds me of Great Britain almost. They say there will always be a Britain. There will always be a Niebuhr as far as I'm concerned. And I hope that as long as I live, I'll be able to associate with such people. Now, they're not so different in some ways than you and I, but they have many fine characteristics. They're hard working, honorable men and women. And it's an honor to associate with them. I can't recall when Sister Sophie and Darrell were married, but I can remember when they lived down on the farm, as Janine mentioned. That was my first war teaching assignment. I was down there with Brother Sam Swindon. We had the honor of teaching the Niebuhrs. There was between the Niebuhrs and the Knapps. That consisted of a whole war teaching beat at that particular time. Darrell lived there, and the Grandma and Grandpa Niebuhr and the Knapps all lived right there in that one section, almost a little village of their own. Merritt and Bruce, Mac, Warren, and Darwin, and I lived our lives here together. Grant was a little younger. I always would have liked to have had a son like Grant. He and Clyde were two of the first scouts that I had when I was a scoutmaster, and I honored to have heard those two boys. Both were Niebuhrs, both come from good stock, dependable, reliable individuals. I think when Grant got married, there was no more thrill than I was, especially when he chose the girl that he did. I have to honor these young men because you can see that they had wisdom. They selected the cream of the crop here in the Upper Valley and the wives that they chose. The wives are only a bit as good as the husbands, I think. It's too bad we weren't living in polygamy at that time, and I could have given them some competition because I respect and love their wives. Merritt and I courted together quite a bit. Before he met Maureen, he used to go with my sister, and I had a girl, and we spent many happy hours together. He was the only man I know of that could keep up with me in eating habits. Run little contests once in a while, try and outdo one another. To me, as has already been mentioned, Darrell was one of the great men. I think it's men like he and his brothers and his father and mother and their associates that have made this nation what it is. I think had Darrell come at any time, or Ira or Adrian, in the history of this great nation, that they would have been, like they are now, great men in carving out a life in this nation. I was reading not too long ago of Benedict Arnold, who was a general in the Revolutionary Army. You know, he was a great general. But he lacked one thing, I suppose. He lacked a spine, or he wasn't reliable, or he thought of a life of ease and money, and so he sold out the cause for some money, similar to Judas. And he joined with the British. They, of course, gave him money and prestige and everything. And when one of the American soldiers was captured, Benedict Arnold must have had a little pang of regret, and he asked this fellow what he thought they would do to him if he were ever captured again. And Benedict Arnold had been wounded in the Battle of Saratoga when he was fighting for the U.S. at that time, and the soldier said they'd cut off your leg and give it an honorable burial and then hang the rest of you from the nearest apple tree. Now, Darrell wouldn't have done something like that. You could depend on him. His word was as good as gold. If he said something, that's what he meant. And he'd do his utmost to keep any agreement that he made. And I'm sure had he been when the Revolutionary Army were fighting, I'm sure that's where he would have been, because he was that type of man. He never indulged in frivolity. He never seemed to have much time to play, and yet he spent a lot of time doing that particular thing. He acted at times like he was a rough man, but in associating with them, I discovered that in order to keep from showing emotion, they act rough a little bit. They speak a little bit quickly, a little bit roughly to a person rather than show that they have some emotion. They're not like me at times. I have a difficult time controlling my emotions. But I know Bishop Niver, he hated to show emotion. He'd rather not do something if it come to the point where he showed emotion. He'd rather let someone else do it. Yet they are tender, loving people. And I think posterity here of these six boys and three girls shows that Darrell was that type of man. And I surely appreciate my association with these people, Sister Sophie and the boys. I hope that in my life, that when my time comes to go, as Darrell's has, that I can lay down and end my life here as well qualified as he is. And I suppose Darrell, like you and I, has made as many mistakes as anyone else. If you were to ask him, if he were talking here, I'm sure that he'd say that he had made many mistakes in his life. And if he had his life to live over like you and I, he would make some changes. But things that happened at the time, we think probably we're doing the thing that is right. And when we look back on our lives, we can see, with the knowledge that we have gained in our life, we can see where we should have or could have had a better life. And I'm sure Darrell felt that way. As a person passes through an experience of this kind, I know when it happened to us, I thought I would like to express to the people who come to the services how I feel. But that's a difficult thing to do at the particular time because of the emotions involved. And Bruce and Merritt have asked that I give a few words that they have jotted down, and it's an honor for me to do so. I'd like to read their thoughts to you about their father. This is Merritt's thoughts. Dad was firm in demanding proper respect from us for the head of the house and tolerated no sass to an elderly person. Yet he left us much freedom in our decisions, and when we knew of mistakes that we had made, he would usually make one little comment, but would never keep harping on it and telling you about it. Later in life, we knew that he had more tolerance and wisdom than we realized. He worked hard all his life and got satisfaction from the things he accomplished with his own hands. Even after retiring 4 years ago, he had to do things, helping us with all that he could see that needed doing, yet not interfering with our plans. He didn't like much fuss made over him with gifts and otherwise. He didn't like exaggerations or bragging. The down-to-earth, honest man was what he looked at as quality. He appreciated his friends and neighbors who were of this type. He helped many civic organizations. He did much reading and was much interested in government and world affairs. When the occasion was right, he was much like his own father in wanting to get up early and get his own breakfast. He would never come out and say that he loved you, and we knew he didn't expect us to say the same. But you knew that it was there very deeply. Now that he is gone, much more than you realize. We thank God for the privilege of being raised by him and mother, who also has very wonderful qualities. And we are looking strongly for the day when we can all be together again. Merritt Nyburn, family. Bruce jotted these few thoughts down. Feeling that few people, if any, outside my father's own family knew him as well as his own, I would like to set down these few thoughts. In thinking of my father at this time, I think of the Savior when he was being questioned by a member of the Pharisees. That was a lawyer and a professor of ecclesiastical law. Asked which is the greatest commandment, the answer is fairly common knowledge. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and the second is likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. I am reminded of an occasion I had to ride with my father into the mountains one spring when nature was at her best. The bluebells, Indian paintbrushes, sunflowers, and many others were in bloom. Excuse me. The quaking aspen had taken on a new leaf for the year. After an inquiry about how it all come about, Dad's remarks were thus. These are the handiwork of the Creator. They were made for people like you and I. We should always be aware of this and not seek after the superficial. All the books ever written and all the discussions ever spoken are puny evidence of an all-powerful Creator when compared to that which we see before us, our very eyes. You. Above mentioned, the mountains, the sun, and the sky, etc., my father loved these endowments of his Creator as very few men did. He never offered help to his neighbor when he knew it would be refused because all was well. He felt this pretentious and wrong. But when he knew there was a need for help, he didn't ask either. He simply seen that they received the help needed if it was within his capacity to do so. I remember him sending us boys to put up a neighbor's crop of hay in a time of difficulty. I am sure much will be said of his honest integrity, so I shall not dwell more on these. I am sure the Savior would have said of my father in regards to the great commandment, as he answered the lawyer when the lawyer acknowledged the Savior's response by saying he knew this was so, and there were more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifice that could be given. The Savior's answer to the lawyer, and I believe to my father, is this: thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Much more that I could say here. In my appreciation, time is limited. I might say that this was a difficult funeral to arrange because of the fact that the family had so many people that they wanted to participate that it was difficult who to leave off. And it's a rather long service, and we'll have to limit our time just a little bit. But I do appreciate my opportunity of being acquainted with this family, and I want to extend to you their appreciation for all that has been done for those who have helped them in any way before the time of these services, for the beautiful flowers, for those who will yet help them and who will yet speak and contribute their part on these services. And I pray that the Lord will bless Sister Sophie, and that we might be mindful of her as the years go by, that to all of the family this might be one of the cherished experiences in their life. Difficult as it seems now, when they look back upon it, they will see that it is so. That death is not a curse, it's a wonderful blessing. This is a time of rejoicing, of joy, when we can sit down and think about life here on this earth, about life hereafter, about our loved ones and all the many things that truly mean much to us. That this might be their lot, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.